Hello, welcome one and all to today's meditation class. And as many people would know if they ever look at the calendar, today is the fifth Saturday. So there is no beginner's class today. So if there's anyone here for the first time on the introduction to meditation class, you're welcome to sit in here if you wish, or you can go back and come next week. But there's no introduction to class this week. And the ongoing class which we do here is all about teaching people some of the deeper aspects of meditation so that one's ongoing practice can bear much better benefit and fruit. And just as I just popped in a few moments ago, so they said they had a question for me. And the question was, well, if we all come from nothing, can we go to nothing and there's nothing in between? What's the point of all this? And the answer I gave, well, that's on the intellectual level. On the emotional level, which is also an important level to find truth, it's all about creating like happiness in this world, happiness for oneself and happiness for others. And the happiness becomes the meaning. And that's also the case for meditation, that the happiness has to be an important factor in the meditation. It's not just blanking out, not trying to escape from the problems of life, but the sort of the positive creation of happiness in the moment. And that's such an important part of meditation, the cultivation of inner happiness, that you can describe the whole path as a gradual, incremental development and generation of the inner happinesses. And it's also the discovery of what that happiness truly is. And the meditation happinesses are, first of all, they're very much the sense that, you know, there are sort of burdens and problems, afflictions, just like having an ache and suddenly you can manage to get rid of that ache, you know, like a headache and you find some magic pill and the headache is completely gone. Or you've got some other little pain and you take this other pill and the pain disappears. And it's always a sense of like relief in the sense that we have like a natural happiness there which is disturbed or obliterated by some of the afflictions of life. And it's understanding that path to inner happiness is a path of insight in meditation. And understanding what that happiness is the other half of insight. Understanding the goal and understanding the road towards that goal. But in meditation, the happiness becomes something which grows incrementally. And this is why we always talk about meditation as a way of letting go of afflictions, of burdens, of things which obstruct the natural happiness of the human mind. As if the mind is naturally happy, but sometimes we have all these burdens and worries and fears and stuff which block out the happiness, just like the clouds block out the sunlight or the pollution or the dust. And it means that the sun can't shine fully on the ground. So what are those clouds? What are those dusts? What are those afflictions? And you can understand that the biggest affliction which people have, the biggest problem they have when they start meditating is thinking too much. So often people say, well, I can't stop thinking. And I'm sitting here meditating. I maybe say, watch the breath for a couple of minutes and I start thinking about the job, thinking about the television, thinking about my family. There's no end of things we can think about. So in order to calm that mind down and let go of the affliction of thinking, we let go of the two things which I call, you know, the biggest generator of thoughts. And the first of all is like time. That's why we go to the present moment first of all. And I keep on focusing on this when I teach meditation because it's just so powerful once you get the hang of present moment awareness. Because most of the thoughts which human beings have are mostly focused on the past or the future. And the reason why you use this paradigm of past and future as being the locus of much of the thinking process is because you get an understanding, at least an intellectual understanding, just the uselessness of such thinking. Past is dead. We all know that. The past cannot be changed. And you don't learn from mistakes, you learn much more from successes. We never really bother about the successes and the things which went right in life. We always keep focusing on the faults, what went wrong in life. We dwell upon those overmuch. And it's a waste of time, especially when we want a bit of peace and quiet. And as for what's going to happen next, I don't know why we always keep planning what's going to happen next. As soon as you start planning and thinking where you're going to go next, you're not paying attention to where you are now. It's like the car driver taking their attention away from the road, and therefore you get into an accident. It's much better to be able to focus on, you know, this thing between the past and the future, the present moment. And the other thing, especially about the future, which I mentioned last night, is in this present moment now, when we attend to it, we care for it, we look after this present moment. That's how we can secure a successful, happy future. Because the future is actually born out of many present moments. This is a place where the future is built and generated now. So by putting our focus on the present moment, by cultivating and caring for this moment, we are actually generating a successful future. And that's what people want to think about the future for. They want to make success, get rid of any problems. They think the way to do that is to send the mind off into the future. But no, you should keep the mind in the present moment. That's where you can get success and prosperity for the future, now. So it's very easy to justify intellectually the reason why we should be in the present moment. And that's why that it's a useful focus at the beginning of the meditation. But if you can't stay in the present moment, use understanding, why not? Why does the mind always go off into the future and the past, thinking about what went wrong earlier today, earlier in your life, and what you must do for the future? Why do we keep doing that? And it's always the case that because we don't value this moment more, whatever you've put more value, more worth into, will remain. So the trick of staying in the present moment is to see its value, to see its worth. In other words, to care for this moment. And so that when you try to develop that present moment awareness, it's not enough just to stop being in the past and stop being in the future. Such a present moment awareness will be unstable. But when you are focusing in this moment with a sense of worth, value, caring for this moment, then that moment actually stays. In other words, when you value it, when you care for it, you're investing this moment with happiness. It's important to you. You value it. What's important, what's valuable, gives you happiness. It's valuing something is how we invest happiness in it, how we invest worth in it. So it's important that we generate the idea that this moment is important, this moment is valuable, this moment is a source of our success, happiness, whatever. And once you start investing value in this moment, you do invest happiness at the same time, this moment actually becomes interesting and enjoyable. So when I start meditating, I make sure that sort of I brainwash myself, convince myself or whatever, that it's more important to be in this moment than to think of all the other things I have to do later on today. It's more valuable, more productive to be in this moment than think of all the things which have happened earlier on. This moment counts. And by putting that value, putting that worth into this moment, it does become happy, it does become joyful. You have a lovely time just being here now. But you have to put that value in. Now, this is not using willpower or force. This is what I call using wisdom power. And you find that the way to get success in meditation is to take away the willpower and use wisdom power. Now, to use that convincing message, not I must be in the present moment, but why I should be in the present moment. And once you've convinced yourself with wisdom power, you invest that worth and value in this moment, then it's just become so easy. The present moment just stays. It sticks. It's stable. And it's the stability of each of these stages of meditation is so important. Otherwise, you get so frustrated. You get in the present moment, and another thought comes up. Oh, I've got to come back again. I can't do anything right. And you just get into frustration. Instead, to avoid that frustration, we just get into this moment straight away. It's easy to get into the present moment, you know, for a few seconds. But then to be able to maintain your attention there, give that moment worth. It's the same as you go deep into this moment. In that stage, I call the silent awareness in the present moment. The silence is even harder for a human being. And why? It's because we think it's more important to think about things. The thought has got this huge importance in our lives. So much so that in one teaching of the Buddha made a simile. They said, just like a young man or young woman going out at night, being dressed in their best clothes or whatever, you know, perfumed or with makeup or whatever, and they found that they're wearing a carcass of a dead dog around their neck. And they get so disgusted. What am I putting a carcass of a dead dog around this beautiful, you know, new dress for? And they'd obviously take it off and throw it away. And the Buddha actually said that that's like in meditation, like putting thoughts around this beautiful mind, all ready to go out into the deep meditations. And so the Buddha was very graphic there in that simile of what he thought of these thoughts, these random ideas which arrive in your meditation, you know, at that stage. But if we don't see them as something of an affliction for us, if we delight in those thoughts, of course those thoughts will continue. So we have to take away the value from our thinking and put more value into the silence of the mind. And which is why it's like, especially as a monk, you go to so many peaceful places and you value that silence. That's why monks do incline towards peaceful places. You don't incline towards noisy places. You remember sometimes, you know, when I was in Thailand for so many years, and then I remember the first time I came over here to Australia and went into one of these big shops. You couldn't believe just how noisy it was. With how much visual stimulation there was there. And you just wanted to go out. It's like this huge, bawling, crying noise which your brain had to deal with. And as a monk, you value silence much more. You incline towards the quietness, what I sometimes call the pause in life, when nothing moves. The silence. And you can hear it now. Once we value that silence, we treasure it, then if a thought comes up, we'll sort of swat it away like a mosquito. We'll brush it off because we're enjoying the silence. And it's so important to be able to value and find joy in the silence. And once you can see that joy, once you value that silence, it's a natural process that the silent awareness will stick. It becomes stable. Instead of the instability of the silent mind, where you know you're silent for a second, another thought comes up, now it stays there. And it's the stability of each of these stages which is really important. And then with such silence and present moment awareness, it's so easy just to then do your focusing on something like the breath. The reason is because the two major obstacles to breath awareness, time and thinking, have all been discarded. You've done the preparation, like before you paint a wall, you know, you've scrubbed off all the grease, and then you've filled in all the holes with, you know, with polyfiller or whatever, with putty. Once you've prepared the surface, it's so easy to paint. When you've prepared the mind with present moment awareness and some silence, and you really respect and enjoy that silence and present moment awareness, then it's so easy just to bring up the breath, and the breath again is stable. There's nothing left to disturb it. You just watch the breath go in and out. And then the joy comes up with the breath. You just enjoy and value the fact that you have one thing to think about one thing to observe, just the breath, and nothing else. You've got nothing else to worry about in the world. When people go on holidays, they say they want to get away from it all. And this is what we mean by getting away from it all. Getting away from the past and the future, getting away from all this thinking which can drive you crazy, literally. And getting away from this achy body and just having one thing to focus on. Just the breath going in and breath going out. When you value that breath, it stays. When you just take it for granted, it will just slip away. So you put value in this thing and it becomes very joyful. Which is why that when we start to simplify our mind by letting go of all this past and future business, all this thinking and all this body awareness and even the sounds outside, and all we've just got left is a breath going in and going out, it's such a simple one-pointed awareness. It gives you an understanding of the real meaning of life, the simple happiness inside the mind, what people call peace of mind. And you're touching it, you're getting close. And that's only the start. As you go deeper and deeper into this meditation, that peace of mind gets stronger and stronger and stronger. The breath is just a vehicle which takes you to that peace of mind. And eventually that vehicle is not necessary anymore, the breath disappears. You go deep inside the peaceful mind states. But that's for another time. Now it's all about valuing every stage of this meditation, investing it with happiness. Because what you enjoy seeing will remain in your awareness. What you take for granted just disappears. So don't take for granted these stages of meditation. Value them. They're important. They are the pathway to inner peace and also enlightenment. So that's just an introduction today. So now if you'd like to get yourselves comfortable, if you've been sitting a long time, so just to fidget around a bit, to adjust the body so they can get into a happy position. So close your eyes, bring attention to your body, just lingering for a while with the body, understanding that it takes a few minutes before the awareness of the body gets strong enough and thorough enough so you can really understand whether you're in a good posture or not. Just bringing all of your mind and focusing on the body. How do you feel? This is important. And being kind enough to adjust the body. And focusing on the present moment with value. To let go of all past and all future. Make this moment so important. Using wisdom power, not willpower. Just valuing each stage of the meditation. Once again, it's getting close to the end of the meditation period. It's a time when I encourage meditators to reflect on two things. One we call the state of their mind, how much peace, inner happiness. That's what meditation has done for you. Sometimes it helps to compare as best you can with what you started with. So you realize that meditation actually works. First is reflecting on your state of mind at the end of a meditation. And the second is what one did to get here. All the strategies which worked, did you really give value to these quiet, peaceful states of mind? Did that investment of value provide stability? Now going to ring the gong three times. As usual, after the third ringing of the gong is the time to come out from the meditation. And when I started yesterday's session, just with the investment of meaning into life, it's not just in the meditation one becomes peaceful and happy, but just the extra mental energy, the discernment, creates a greater happiness after one meditates. Simply by becoming more aware of what happens in life, one can overcome many of the obstacles of life. One can see the strategies which are necessary not just for meditating successfully, but also for living more peacefully and happily. So the way of meditation empowers the mind And the mind which is empowered becomes sensitive and wise. And the sensitivity and the wisdom, and the kindness and compassion are what make the mind and the person a person of happiness, and one who can share that happiness, to generate happiness in others. That's why that through meditation is a quintessential way of finding the meaning of life. Not by the meaning by thinking, but finding the meaning through stillness. Not by rationalizing the meaning, but feeling the meaning. I would say the meaning of life is not an intellectual answer to a series of questions, but an emotional realization. Okay, so is there any questions anyone has about the meditation today? Or about the putting value in every stage of the meditation, realizing just how important it is just to be simply in the present, to have few thoughts, and just really relax. One of the nicest things of meditation, if ever it's too hot or too cold, and I've been traveling all over the place, and sometimes it's too cold or too hot, or you've got aches and pains in the body, or sometimes you're really tired. The great escape from the problems of the body, I always find in the present moment. It goes deep inside the present moment, and soon the body disappears. And the older you get, and the more your joints ache, the more you become more intolerant to changes of temperature for bugs and whatever, the more important it is to be able just to find a way of just abandoning this body. So let go of the body, to be apart from the body in a deep meditation. And just to be able to be with the breath means you have to be apart from the rest of the body, all the other aches and pains and sounds and heat and cold and stuff. So then you can really focus on the breath, all the rest of the body disappears. And that still remains one of those earliest memories of meditating in northeast Thailand with all those mosquitoes on you. And there's no escape at all. No mosquito screens, no mosquito nets, no mosquito coils, no mosquito repellent. You just had to take it. And it's so repellent, not repellent, that's insect repellent. It was so hard to bear. That's where you had to learn just to really go deep inside. Go inside the breath and just stay there. There's a wonderful incentive to really do your meditation properly. Because every time your mindfulness wandered, it would always go off to the mosquito bites, which is so irritating. And there were hundreds of them, literally. And then you can just go inside the mind, go inside the breath. And just watching the breath go in and out, you just couldn't feel the rest of the body. It disappeared. Thank goodness. I remember also doing that when I had a fever, typhus fever, or with toothache and stuff. So it's wonderful being able to go deep inside by following this procedure. Get rid of time. It's the time which gives you the fear of pain. I can't stand this any longer. See, any longer part of that, which causes the fear, which is 90% of pain, if not more. And then to get rid of the thinking, and then just go focus on one thing. Then your whole body disappears, and it's such a beautiful relief to be sitting and not to be able to feel the heat, the cold, the aches, the tiredness, whatever else happened in the body. Just by being one-pointed on the breath. That's why the body is one of those afflictions. And often recognize you sit here in front of people on a Friday night or a Saturday, sometimes in front of even more people in here. And as you're the speaker, you watch what people are doing. They're always fidgeting. They're always scratching their, rubbing their feet or sort of nodding their head or scratching their brow. I'm just reporting what I'm seeing in front of me. And sometimes you ask, why are people always moving? Because the body is always uncomfortable. The body was really comfortable, you'd be able to sit here absolutely still. That's why one of the nice things about deep meditation, you can sit here, you don't have to move. And why is it you don't have to move? Because you've gone beyond the body. You don't receive any of those irritations, heat and cold, itchy, whatever. Not even the severe pains. You just go right beyond them. deep into the mind. And the burden of the body is released. So that really is happiness. To be able to sit there peacefully, not having to do anything with the body. Because the body is comfortable because you're not receiving any information from it anymore. Any comments or questions about this? For the second time, any questions? For the third. Go on, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, we've got the mental pain, the physical pain. And the physical pain is the stuff you can't do much about. But the mind can just disassociate. That's why when the mind puts its awareness on something else, the physical sensations aren't recognized. They're not perceived anymore. You've let them go, you've dropped them. That's why when you put your people, actually, they can watch TV, a nice movie, and they go, they have to go to the toilet, but they've got a bursting bladder, they just can't feel it. They watch a sports match or anything which they're really interested in. So the focus of the mind is somewhere else, they're not feeling the body, so the body just relaxes. Even when you're having an operation or something, minor operation, sometimes people don't like to sort of even watch themselves being injected, can't see the point of the needle. Even those, if when you got local anaesthetic there, you can only feel a prick, but people look at that, oh, I can't watch myself being injected by something. It's just mental fear, that's all. So it's wonderful to being able to take the attention somewhere else. You put it on the breath, say, and you really focus on the breath. You can't feel anything else. So you're focusing on one thing to the exclusion of everything else. So you don't feel the body. Another nice thing about it is the body actually relaxes and heals for. Because a lot of time, whatever we get involved with, we mess around. Whatever we pay attention to, we disturb. So if you've got an ache and pain in the body and you put attention there, a lot of times it makes it worse. Because you get a bit of fear coming up and you tense up around the original pain. Not always, but very often. Okay, so that's enough for today. So we can pay respect to Buddha Dhamma Sangha.